Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Speakeasy. We have a slightly different thing today. This is Kate Leary, your host, and what I'm going to be doing is playing an audio clip of an interview I did with Adele Waring, who is the head of Flux Spirit Books. And if all goes well, we will have that audio starting right up. This interview was done on Saturday, March 14th of this year, and we talk about a good number of things. Let's make sure that's working.
Hello, and welcome today. I want to introduce you to Adele Waring, who is the head of Flux Spirit Books in the UK, and I should say, as a disclaimer, is a publisher of several things of mine, and I have worked with her as an editor, so I may be slightly biased in saying Flux Spirit Books totally rocks. It is wonderful. But hello, Adele.
Hello, Kate. And I don't think bias necessarily means you're wrong.
That's true. Well, we're recording this on Skype, so, you know, forgive any audio infelicities, and it's just started raining outside, and there's traffic noise going by me. Is it quiet in the husband's Bosworth?
It is at the moment, because the kids seem to have gone in for the time being, and the cats haven't decided it's second dinner time.
Oh, very good.
So we've got a respite.
Well, hopefully until the cats awaken or the dog comes back and crying, we can talk for a little bit. First, why don't you explain to folks what Flux Spirit Books is? In a nutshell.
When I figure it out.
What is it meant to be? How is that a better question?
We're a small press. Obviously, we're an indie press. We get to do what we like a little bit, which is always fun. I didn't intend to be a publisher. It started out, as you know, as a bad joke. We had an American academic, a book blogger, and a genre journalist in a car, and we ended up with Flux Spirit Books.
Oh, you left out the most important element.
The pub bit.
Well, the pub bit I think we can take as given. No, I meant endless replays of the soundtrack.
Once more with feeling.
Yeah, yeah. Buffy fans awesome. Will recognize.
Megalomaniacs and Buffy.
Yeah, it's the link. It's the link.
You get a small press with a lot of strong female leads, a lot of strong female writers, a lot of female artists, which again wasn't something we set out and said, we're going to, you know, represent women in genre. We just put out a lot of fun calls and had a lot of fun stories back, but we have ended up with a really good split and some really interesting new voices coming through. So it's exciting. It's fun to do. But I still maintain I was conned by you lot.
Well, you know.
Oh, it'll be easy. Hardly any work. Won't cost you anything.
We'll surely find minions for you. You know, minions at any moment, we'll find some minions for you.
You'll mine them. You'll crash up in a cave and there'll be thousands of little yellow bodies waiting to jump out and help me. Because that's what I need.
it is very hard work running a small press. And I know that it's a lot more work than you thought you would get.
It is partly my own fault. People keep going, we've got this idea. And I keep going, oh, yes, let's do that. Let's make that a thing. If I was better at going, I like it, but I've already got plenty to do, I wouldn't be quite so manic. And it doesn't help. Obviously, you know, my memory's non-existent now. If I don't write things down, that's it. It's gone. Done. So I have a lot of lists in about 7 different notebooks. So depending on which notebook I have with me, depends on what gets done this week.
It's variable. But you do have a schedule coming up for what, the next 2 years?
Yeah, well, we have... behind the scenes, we have books programmed into 2017 for Defna, and there are a few people still waiting to hear back on me for that year.
Wow.
And I'm now saying to people no, because you'd be looking at 2018, and I'd kind of like to leave that at least a few more months before I start programming that. It is a little bit mental, but as I say, it's just people keep having good ideas. And when you're working with somebody already, as you know, and they then come and go, oh, and this other thing. And you're like, and I really, really love what you've already done, and I don't really want you to take this other thing somewhere else, and I'm sure I can squeeze it in somewhere.
There's always that little room to shoehorn.
Yeah, it does get... I took a business partner recently, and his main role seems to be to go, no, leave yourself a break. You're no good if you have a nervous breakdown.
This is
stop.
The voice of sanity, or at least logic.
Yeah, well, something.
Something like that. How have you managed the work? Because I know that for a lot of women are often pulled in lots of different directions. How is it that you manage to get so much done?
Little bits of time. It's kind of having phones as they are now, having an iPad, things like that makes such a difference because, you know, you take a half-hour lunch break at work, you find somewhere to sit with a coffee, and you go to your other work for half an hour. The time, if I'm early to the gym, I can sit and write notes and sort things out. I can answer emails anywhere at any time, obviously not whilst doing the day job. But, you know, walking to the day job, I will answer emails. Evenings, Saturdays, generally, time is set aside for Fox Spirit. Sundays, I try to limit it. I try to actually keep Sundays for myself as much as possible.
Which is very good. A very good
plan. Obviously, during event season, that goes to hell because some of my Saturdays are lost to events, which means I have to make up time on the Sundays that I'm not also at events. So there'll be June and July. I will be working a lot of Sundays. But, you know, that's okay. It's something I love doing. So, and I want to put the products out there. I want to put the books and the stories out there.
And it really, I mean, I think the thing is you really have to have a passion to do it in order to devote this much time to it.
Yeah. And it's one of those things as well. You know, I have a 9-to-5 job.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to go and do that. Between 9-to-5, that's where my head has to be. Which means all the rest of the time when normally you'd switch off from work, That's when I'm doing the other stuff. That's when I'm doing Fox Spirit. And writers and artists and things like that, I'm having to reach out to them out of working hours, which works both ways. It means that, you know, I will get emails at 10 o'clock at night that sometimes we do need an answer then and there. So it is quite difficult to switch off sometimes. So, yeah, passion. Definitely a must.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the work that you've done. Starting with the first one to kick it off, Tales of the Nun and Dragon.
Tales of the Nun and Dragon. This was our pub. if one of us had owned a pub, we'd never have had a publishing company.
Well, you know, and that's probably true, but I'm not putting it off the list of things that we will get to.
All right, we'll get there. It's definitely something to aim for. Tales of the Nun and Dragon, Kate, obviously you know the story, but for everybody else, part of what happened the weekend that I had various people staying and was shuttling us all back and forth to Buffy and her dulcet tones, and Giles in his very dulcet tones, was a discussion of British pub names. If you're not British, you should definitely look them up. We used to have a series of pubs called the Firkins, and it would be things like the Fetlock and Firkin, and they were all different. They've gone now, but locally in a village called Mousley, we have a pub called the Staff of Life, or as some of my local friends call it, the Stick of Death. And it was a discussion of, you know, English villages, places like Barton on the Beans and Sheepy Magna, and the pub names that go with them that got us onto, I'm not even quite sure how we came up with the Nun and Dragon. But we were just bouncing around great pub name ideas, and it was too good to waste. So we ended up going, well, you know, let's do a book. That'll be fun. We'll ask a few people. So half I coddled, half convinced that everyone was going to go, don't be ridiculous. But suddenly we had a book. And it was terrifying. Oh my god, I've got a book to put out. And then a mutual friend of ours let me know that Joan was actually looking for a home for a couple of her books, and I'd loved her first one, Shadows, when it had been with a previous publisher.
Joan De La Haye.
Joan De La Haye, yeah. Sorry. I should tell people that, shouldn't I?
Yeah. And have we mentioned yet foxspirit.co.uk?
We haven't, and we've got to come on to Fox Gloves yet. and the future. Anyway, Joan De La Haye had written a horror novel called Shadows that I'd reviewed in a previous existence before publishing, and I'd loved it. And so when I heard he was looking, I said, look, you know, I'm doing this thing. I've no idea if I'm going to be any good at it, but I'd really, really love you on board. And she said yes. So I brought out her novels, Shadows, which is a pure horror, Oasis, which is a cracking little zombie novella with a really different perspective that I liked, and Requiem in E Sharp, which is a crime novel set in South Africa, which is where Joan's from. And it's particularly interesting because although it's a procedural and a serial killer novel at its heart, it gives a lot of flavour of the South African police and the corruption.
Yeah, that was a really fascinating part about it.
Yeah, very different for a British reader, and I would presume American as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just sort of bolted from there. We ended up, Nun and Dragon was going to be a one-off. By the time it came out, I had Joan's books, and we'd agreed to do two more in the Tales of series. Tales of the Fox and Fae, which is also out, and contains a graphic story for no other reason than because we could. And it is very good, actually. It's a Jasper Bark story. And then Tales of the Mouse and Manator, which I'm sure is cursed. Going into Greek mythology has cursed this book. It has so many, so delayed, and it's had just endless traumas. But it is coming out this year, at long last. We are actually almost there with it. So we have of course almost been there with it before, and then we had a last minute pull out. So we had to get more stories in, which is what's been going on in the background at the moment. And since then, all in all, we've got over 30 titles out now, including a 400-year-old lost manuscript in Bensing.
Which is
because
amazing.
We're a small press and we can do what we want.
But that's also, I mean, that's another way of folding interest that you already have into this new project, which is probably a good time to mention Foxglove.
It is. Well, the Hema book, the historical martial arts book, came out under Vulpus, which is our historical martial arts imprint, which will be doing more. But
isn't it just so cool to say, what are historical martial imprints?
Historical European martial arts, focusing on fencing and things like that, Battisti stuff. I'm not a Hema expert, but there's longsword, lots of sword fighting that isn't for sport. That is done, which is done for sport now, but it's done in the styles of historical Europeans rather than...
Which, as a medievalist, this is something that I find really, really exciting because, you know, when you're studying a period that covers about 1,000 years, there's all kinds of knowledge that you'll just never have.
And the second Giganti, Nicoletti Giganti was a fencing instructor, I think, in 1904 his first book came out, and that was focused very much on proper fencing and fencing that was taught to the military and things like that. His second book came out in 1608, except no one could ever find it. And eventually Piermarco Terminiello and Josh Pendragon found it misfiled in the Wallace collection as a reprint of the 1604 book. And the second book covers much more street fighting, so there's lances and bucklers and fencing with two swords and lots of people getting stabbed in the eye in the illustrations.
Woo.
And it was such a... They've done articles in various arms and armory magazines and literature about the search for the book, which is well worth reading in itself. It was a real treasure hunt for them to find this book, and then they translated it, and I published that translation we will be doing a second edition, which will include the original Italian, the scholars amongst the Hema community, of which there aren't many. There's a massive crossover between fantasy and sci-fi writers and fandoms and the Hema community,
mm-hmm.
and also just the wider martial arts community. And that sort of does bring us to Foxgloves, because I do modern martial arts. I'm not an expert in Hema. It was a really, really good opportunity, and I love doing Vulpus. But I practice modern martial arts at Leicester Shoot Fighters. And Nathan Leverton, who is an MMA coach and runs Leicester Shoot Fighters, and my coach, and I got together to talk about editing a line of technical manuals and biographies. So we've got some top-flight martial artists, Nathan himself, who has cornered at UFC and trained fighters who've gone on to Bama. And Wayne Lakin, who was a Commonwealth champion in judo. Rosie Sexton, who's one of the top British MMA women's fighters, has a PhD from Cambridge, plays the classical piano.
Wow.
Has a child, is about the same age as me, makes me feel very underachieving. It's completely lovely, and has sort of stepped back into grappling competition now from MMA. And Rolly Delgado, who's an American BJJ player, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu competitor, who is kind of the guy that the Brazilians now bring in to teach them the legal leg locks for competitive Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Wow.
So, again, someone else right at the top of his game. And they're going to do a series of manuals. And Nathan and Wayne are already talking about doing biographies with me. And I think Rosie has a writing partner. She wants to do a nutrition book in addition to the manual she'll be doing for the first year. So that's foxglovesbooks.com. Because obviously we have American writers and we wanted the martial arts audience all over the world. So we really need to get foxspirit.com at some point as well lined up. There's stuff on the site at the moment. We've done the first seminar linked to the books, which was a transition seminar by Wayne, hosted at Leicester Shoot Fighters. And they're hosting Rosie again this month in another Fox Gloves Leicester Shoot Fighters linked seminar. Okay. And then Rolly is coming over in the summer.
Wow.
That's, which will be really good.
That's a great schedule of events.
Yeah.
What, just to skip aside now, can you tell us about a couple of the most recent publications?
Yes. We've had, there's so many. Most recently, we've got Emily Nation by Alec McKay, which is a post-apocalyptic Cornish assassin, not quite steampunk novel. It's great fun. Emily's a hard drinker and a swearer and a shoot everything, ask questions later kind of girl. I like her. It was one of those heroines that I started reading and went, yeah, absolutely.
That's the one.
Yeah. Kind of, you know, encompasses our spirit, really.
Oh, really?
Kill everything, then get drunk. Worry about the rest of it later.
And I just got a copy of European Monsters, which is just gorgeous.
Isn't it beautiful? And that's the anthology we did just at Christmas, just before Christmas. We'll be doing one of those each year for the next few years, traveling around the globe. And that was a lot of fun. Margaret and Joe came to me and suggested doing something as a coffee table book with short stories, graphic stories, and lots of art and illustration. And it's worked really, really well. It's actually come out better than I could have hoped for, I think.
It's beautiful.
It is. It's a difficult one to sell on Amazon in some ways because you can't see it. And it's really one I think people want to pick up and hold and take home when they see it. So we'll be bringing that to events this year. And The Stars Seem So Far Away.
Oh, that's right.
Which is Margaret's first collection, which includes a couple of short stories she's had in the Fox Pockets and a whole load of other stuff. And it's based around five characters in a post-apocalyptic, near-apocalyptic, end-of-the-world scenario where they've all had to go into the very far frozen north, and it's following their stories through that. And that's it's a novella length. It's a great little book, great little collection of stories, and I'm looking forward to seeing what Margaret does next.
It's one of the really nice things is that I think, especially with all the new technology and electronic publishing, that it's so much easier to sell novella length, which people love, but which had kind of fallen out of favor because of the difficulty of selling them in print. And as ebooks, I think that they're ideal. There's something that you can, you know, read in an afternoon or read over your lunch if you're a fast reader.
I think as well, people have sort of got locked into a value for money thing. If you're paying $7.99 for a book, and in the bookshops, quite often a novella, you know, a Fitzgerald novella that's 58 pages will cost the same as a 500-page doorstop epic fantasy.
That's true.
And it's like, well, if you're paying $7.99 for a book, you want to get your read out of it. You want to get your, you know, 7 hours or whatever it takes you to read 500 pages. rather than feel that you've bought a tiny little book for the same money. I think there is, you know, when you're actually in a bookshop physically buying books for the same price, there is a little bit of that. I know I was a bit like that with novellas. And actually, with the constraints on time that people have now, shorter stories, flash fiction, novella-length books are definitely making a comeback.
Which is a great time to mention Fox Pocket.
Yes. Well, we have lots of novellas, and the Fox Pockets particularly are flash and short fiction books designed for tea breaks, really. Tea breaks and lunch hours. The idea is to sample our authors and to get a sample of the sorts of books and the sorts of people you'll find at Fox Spirit.
And how many are out now?
There are 4 out. In no particular order. Piracy, Shapeshifters, Guardians, and Missing Monarchs are all out. Under the Waves is coming next. And there'll be 5 more after that. So there'll be 10 in total.
Amazing.
We're in the process of moving them. We originally did them on Lulu because of the pocket size, you know, just right to fit in your jacket. But we're actually in the process of moving them over to Create Space so we can make them better value for people.
Oh, excellent.
Yes, they'll be available in paperback on Amazon soon. Because, you know, I'm not busy enough trying to get other stuff out. but, yeah, and we've got a lot of really fantastic authors in the Fox Pockets, a lot of new authors. Their first stories have come through it. And then you've got people like yourself and Den Patrick and, you know, lots of much more established writers as well, sort of sitting side by side with them. So they're really nice little blends.
And great packages, too. I mean, I wanted to make sure to mention one thing that really impresses, and this is in contrast with a lot of small presses, beautiful, beautiful books, beautiful cover art, well edited.
Well, thank you. I think so, obviously. We are very, very lucky with the cover artists we've been working with from the beginning. Sarah Ann Langton, Stephanie Johnson, S.L. Johnson online, Tom England, Dave Johnson, not related. Dave Johnson's a local British artist. S.L. Johnson is an amazing American artist I'm very fortunate to work with. There's just all wonderful. Jenna White, who did Emily Nation, I found completely by accident at Thought Bubble. I took a photo of, I bought a little box, took a photo of it, sent it to Alec, and said, what do you reckon? And he came back about 5 minutes later and went, yes! So I ran back to the store and said, can I just get your email address? Would you maybe consider? I'm going to forget people because I haven't got them all in front of me and I'm going to feel really awful. But all our artists are listed on the website. Danny Sarah.
Oh, yeah.
Done some just gorgeous work for us. And all the artists in the books, people like Kieran Walsh, who did the illustrations in Fox and Fae and Tales of the Nun and Dragon.
And Vince, who did the wraparound for Tales of the Nun and Dragon.
Yeah, Vincent Holling Keane, who writes, produces videos, does everything. has done some brilliant cover art for me. And he's one of those ones. I've got two or three people where they come to me either as a husband-wife team. So Jerry Clark Hallery comes to me and says, so Matt's kind of drafted a cover just to see what you thought. Obviously, if you want to use someone else. And her partner, Matt, is a graphic designer by trade. And he sends me these beautiful covers, and I go, yeah, no, we can work with that. And Vince is another one who, because he is, you know, a very, very good artist, he'll go, so you're going to let me do the cover for this one, yeah, on his own work. Like, I'll see what you come up with. Yes, yes, that will do nicely, thank you. I don't always let my writers do their own cover art or get their husbands to do it. But when I do,
I can draw stick figures. I don't think it would be very successful. Well, we've only got half an hour, so I kind of have to wrap this up. But I just wanted to say I love Fox Spirit Books. And not just because you published me. I mean, every book that you put out is just so gorgeous. And the care that has gone into them is so obvious that it's something. I mean, to be nominated for a British Fantasy Society Award in what, your second year of existence?
Yep, best anthology for Tales of Eve and best small press for us. We were very, very proud.
We were
shortlisted, so that was really good.
And then, and up against public presses that have been around a very, very long time. So it's quite impressive what you've done. And I think as someone, I mean, you may quail at the idea of being a role model, but I think as a woman who has had ideas and made them manifest, that's kind of feel really great.
Yeah, it does. It's incredibly good feeling to see things come alive and to be part of it. I mean, I've been a passionate reader my whole life. I loved the blogging when I did it. And to actually be part of the process of making stories that I want to read come alive and be out there for other people to read as well. That's been really, really amazing, really rewarding.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing everything new that comes from Fox Spirit, whether it's got my name somewhere in it or not. Of course, I really prefer that, but you know.
Well, your name manages to be on quite a few of them.
Yeah, well, not always my name, but one of my names anyway.
Why?
Well, thank you so much for taking the time, Adele.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I want to thank Adele Waring again for talking about Fox Spirits with us, Fox Spirit Books with us, and I hope everyone has a wonderful and happy St. Urho Day today, and we will have another episode of Speakeasy Radio coming up quite soon, so stay tuned for that. We're still working things out, and we're still trying to figure out all of the ins and outs of the technology, but we're really happy so far, and if you have ideas for things you would like to see us delve into, you can find Speakeasy Radio on Facebook, and you can find various people who are associated with it there. Fox Spirit Books, let me repeat again, foxspirit.co.uk. You can find the wide range of books that they have available, and there are free reads there. There are videos and all other kinds of things to entertain you, and you can sign up for a newsletter and be eligible to win occasional prizes. All right, thanks for listening.